You're listening to Raphael Epstein.
Now, Josh Nelson is here. His blog is called Filmology.com, spelt with a PH. Hi, Josh.
Pleasure to be back.
Now, there's some aging people in this film, so I do want to know your thoughts. Sometimes people, well, they just do it well, don't they? They just got class. So there's just some people have the vibe. They've had work done, they haven't work done, whatever. 1300-222-774, the people who age well. Raffy, I reckon Susan Sarandon looks younger with every film. There you go. Meryl Streep is a champ. You're already texting in. I want to hear your voice as well. 1300-222-774. Let's find out a little bit about this film. It's called The Company You Keep. Have a little listen to the trailer.
Former Weather Underground leader Sharon Solar,
one of the longest-standing fugitives on the FBI's most wanted list, was arrested yesterday, 30 years after the notorious Bank of Michigan robbery, which resulted in the death of a guard.
What's wrong? You look weird.
I'm fine, honey.
You're on your way to New York to turn yourself in?
Don't move! Hands in the air!
I thought that that would bring me peace.
Why now after 30 years?
There you go. There's also the ever young Shia LaBeouf in that one as well. He of the Transformers and Last Crusade films. Josh, tell me about the film.
Well, as you heard a glimpse of there, this is a sort of a political drama. It stars Robert Redford. Interesting opening, and mentioned the Weather Underground in the trailer there. I have a real fascination with the Weather Underground, particularly as a movement. I mean, my fascination with American popular culture post-Vietnam and during that civil rights period. And interesting in light of contemporary definitions of terrorism when you look back. This is probably more of a side issue. But the film sets itself up in a political context that these are people, and Susan Sarandon's one of them, who was involved with the Weather Underground in her earlier days. And there's been a bank robbery in which someone's killed and they've been sort of hunted down, or they've been hunted for 30 years. And she gets picked up by the FBI at the beginning of the film. And Redford, who's also been in hiding for 30 years, realizes that his number's up. And he basically has to do a sort of a Harrison Ford fugitive number and take off cross country to clear his name. I have some issues with this. It's hard to criticize a film where you look at all the individual aspects and they're all fairly polished. The dialogue is quite nice and peppy. It looks good. Robert Redford, who directed the film, he's got a fairly laid back style as director, which I quite like. And yet there's something that just doesn't quite work for me. It lacks a bit of oomph. It's not an unenjoyable ride. But I think part of it is the cameos, because it's got an incredible cast. I mean, Susan Sarandon, unfortunately, is really only in a couple of scenes at the beginning and then disappears. Right. And the central thrust of the narrative, it really is Robert Redford on the run, trying to clear his name, and Shia LaBeouf, who's an investigative reporter, also trying to kind of follow the story, and he's sort of playing off the two different sides, the FBI and maybe, the contact with the...
I love the way journalists are as skilled and as able to get information as police. But anyway, keep going.
Well, the interesting thing about the presentation of the journalist character in this film is he does actual research. It's not just a, let's just go to Google and let the, which I think it was funny.
Don't knock Google. My best research is done on Google.
Well, ask my students. Wikipedia is not an appropriate reference, students. But I think there's a bit of a throwback here to earlier films like All the President's Men. And, of course, Redford was in that. And other films, obviously The Fugitive, and another film, it's sort of passed, I'm not sure how many people can remember this, Running on Empty. It was a film.
I remember Running on Empty, yes.
River Phoenix. His family were on the run. I think the suggestion was they were kind of Weather Underground activists in the time. So it's got elements of those. But yeah, the issue with all these, the star, and this is an A-grade star, and everyone's impressive. Terrence Howard, Stanley Tucci, Chris Cooper, Nick Nolte, Julie Christie, and on it goes. But the problem
impressive.
Is, they only have one scene, and then it's like they're forgotten about. And there's a moment where in the moment of the scene, when they're talking about politics, the good old days and how the revolution's kind of been fought and lost, there's some really nice interaction. But the loss of these characters, the disappearance from the narrative and the film's refusal to come back to it becomes increasingly I found it increasingly frustrating. Mm. And also they have that star presence too, because it's not just a series
They're distracting.
Yeah, to a point. Because, I think it's because they don't come back, because the narrative sort of relinquishes it. And as the film moves on towards its fairly predictable ending, it moves away from any sort of engagement with the political context that the film is established in. And that was frustrating too, because, I think they could have had...
So you mean they lose the interesting political context?
Yeah, it sets itself up as the revolutionary, the kind of old guard. There's some nice stuff at the beginning between Redford and the LaBeouf character, as in, your generation doesn't understand what we were going through, and playing off the kind of the the loss of the political revolutionary spirit, I guess, of the 60s.
You don't know, you weren't there.
Exactly, that whole thing. Yeah. But as the film moves on, it just becomes more of a sort of a family melodrama and the man on the run story. So I felt that the gradual loss of the political in this film was probably to its detriment to a point, and the speeches, the scenes themselves between all the A-list stars become increasingly the same.
Okay. Oh, actually, Nick has called from Roeville. I think, Nick, you saw the film.
Yeah, good day, guys. Yeah, look, my reaction was a little bit contradictory in that, look, Robert Redford, for a 78-year-old guy, pulled it off pretty well. But I had to think, watching him, that it reminded me a little bit about, you know, he's extremely fit for 78. He's got a great head of hair for 78, but he's got an extremely craggy face.
Well, craggy's okay. He's 78.
Yeah, but he looked a bit like those guys that, you know, when they're in their 30s and they're made to look like they're 80s.
Oh, right. And the sort of the latex covering.
Yeah, a little bit like the opposite to Dustin Hoffman, a little big man, where right. It was the opposite. He was about 30 and they wanted to make him look 100.
Yeah, I remember.
Yeah, but look, he did a good job. There's not many that could.
Okay, so the acid test, movie. Would you recommend it to a friend as like a Saturday night film?
Oh, yes, definitely.
Yeah. Okay, so
well, I'm from that era, so, of course, it had that attraction.
Okay, look, thanks for calling, Nick. 1300-222-774. Someone's texted, have you noticed Sigourney Weaver looks so much like Susan Sarandon she could play her in the story of her life? No, that's never occurred to me, but it's clearly occurred to you.
It's the hair. They have similar hair, I think. Interestingly, I love Redford's face, and this is the thing about the aging stars. He's aging gracefully. He's allowed to look his age. I mean, there's always that debate about...
Although I saw him in a film, and there's something odd about the cragginess of his face, where you're not quite sure if it's all natural. It's not that he looks too young. He just looks a bit strange.
Well,
is that just me?
Maybe we're not used to watching elderly men age gracefully on screen. I mean, he was one of the first people I remember, whether he's held to this or not, I'm not sure, but about 15 or so years ago, that was really anti the cosmetic surgery, even for men and for women. So whether he's gone back on his word in recent times, I'm not sure. But he doesn't look, you know, it's not the kind of Botox to oblivion sort of face. Where
I'd love to hear your thoughts on aging gracefully. 1300-222-774. Susan Sarandon's getting lots of talk. I reckon Susan Sarandon looks younger with every film. I just remember her in Bull Durham. And someone says that Robert Downey Jr. is incredibly sexy, far more now than he ever was. That's from Samantha in Bendigo. Yeah, maybe. I'm not sure.
It's the Clooney factor.
The Clooney factor.
Yeah, he gets better. Have you seen young photos of Clooney? He wasn't an attractive man.
What, in like ER and those sorts of things?
Oh, sort of pre-ER, Attack of the Killer Tomatoes era.
Yeah, okay. Actually, we've got a small piece of George Clooney for you.
Today marks the beginning of a fight between two sets of ideals.
If you get Thompson's endorsement, the race is over.
What does he want?
Cabinet post.
Never going to do it. I said I wasn't going to make those kind of deals.
Yeah, I think George Clooney kind of sets the bar pretty high for those that are aging gracefully and choosing their roles well as well. Actually, quite a few of you mentioning on the text message Helen Mirren. We all love a bit of Helen Mirren. She's certainly aging gracefully.
Nowadays, people want glamour and tears, the grand performance. I'm not very good at that. I never have been. I prefer to keep my feelings to myself. And foolishly, I believed that was what the people wanted from their queen, not to make a fuss nor wear one's heart on one's sleeve. Duty first, self second. That's how I was brought up. That's all I've ever known.
Helen Mirren and the Queen. Didn't even like the film that much, but I loved the performance. Tom has called from Balaclava. Oh, you're all getting out and seeing the films early. Hi, Tom. You've seen Company You Keep as well. Raph Redford was a redhead. Freckles and dry skin equals wrinkles. That's from Di in Frankston. Okay. Someone's suggesting Tilda Swinton as someone who's aging well, but she's not that old, is she? How old will Tilda Swinton be? Not even 50.
No, probably not. But she's one of these people who hasn't actually aged. If you look at Orlando, photos of her from Orlando, she looks identical. It's like she's become the character that she became famous for.
Maybe she just never goes out in the sun.
Well, with skin that white, would you?
I don't know. Phil from Heathmont reckons a craggy face is much better than a Botox plastic face. Hollywood plastic surgery is scary. Someone making that point actually on another text that they saw Cher on Ellen this week. Freaky. Freaky's a strong word. And Ralph Christopher Walken, aging well with some great recent roles, diverse and entertaining. Also recall that classic Fatboy Slim video. That's what I was going to say. I actually can only ever think of Christopher Walken in the Fatboy Slim video now.
The man can dance. He can really dance.
Although that's a while ago, isn't it? That's
at least 10 years ago, probably.
15 years. And Sean Connery, I ask you. That's a text from Maggie. And Maggie, I'm not sure what you're saying. 1300 222 774. We'll get to some more of your views on people aging gracefully. If you've got a bar you can set higher than George Clooney, I'd like to hear about it.
On 774 ABC Melbourne, you're listening to Raphael Epstein. Call now on 1300 222 774 or text 0437 774 774. You're with Raf.
We'll get on to the new film about Pinochet called No. I'll just read out some of your texts. George Clooney all the way. Martin Shaw in George Gently, not a film, but he is delicious. It's his deep baritone voice and cheeky smile. Liza Minnelli still looks good, according to this texter. Cary Grant aged superbly, says Helen. I wouldn't know, to be honest. Raf, it has to be Robert Redford. Such a handsome man. Cheers. That's from Paul. And someone's texted in Colin Firth, but Colin Firth's not that old.
No.
I mean, he's certainly not as young as he might have been in Pride and Prejudice, but maybe the years I've lived have escaped me unnoticed. Josh, tell me what No is all about.
Well, it's another political drama. It's from a Chilean director, Pablo Larraín. I really like this film. So it's set during the 1988 Chilean referendum to either keep or oust Pinochet. And the narrative centres around a character played by Gael Garcia Bernal,
who's right.
in Y Tu Mama Tambien and many other great films since. And he works for an advertising agency. He's sort of living in the sort of the middle class of Chile, sort of away from the, you know, the
He's aging gracefully. He's not that old either.
He hasn't aged a day since, Y Tu Mama. And he gets sort of sequestered to run the campaign for the No, oust Pinochet. And on the flip side, his boss, who's very much the kind of the wealthy upper middle class, gets sequestered by the government to run the Yes campaign. So what you have is this lovely sort of mirroring of two people working for the same company running advertising for, you know, banal things like soft drinks and soap operas. And at the backdrop, you know, away from work, they're running these competing campaigns where they're given 15 minutes of airtime per week and they to keep coming up with new material.
Right.
Now, what makes this film, and what's actually a good point of comparison from The Company You Keep, is what this film does really well is it balances off the personal with the political. So the politics in this film are always expressed through the characters, through the narrative. It's not. Yeah. I think that's one of the real challenges with films dealing with politics, that
you
it can become.
Bored.
It either avoids the political or it becomes like you get to see in that Tom Cruise Meryl Streep from Lions for Lambs, where it's basically sit down and just, you know, the didactic kind of political discussion, and the characters get lost in that. And this film doesn't do it. In fact, it has a really lovely bookending technique. So the film opens with the Bernal character. He's in a conference, but you're not sure if it's a political one not yet or not, and says this is the time for Chile to make a decision about your future. And he presses play on a tape recorder, and it's an ad for free Coca-Cola, a brand. Yeah. And so you have this what the film does really well is it starts to play on the interchangeability of political rhetoric with the advertising rhetoric. And as the campaign kind of develops, you get these questions that arise between him and the other sort of the co-creators of the campaign. Should we be showing the horrific side of Pinochet's regime, the deaths, the tortures, or are we trying to promote, are we trying to sell a future without Pinochet? So do we play up a happy Chile?
And is it filmed in Buenos Aires? How do they mix the archival footage and all those sorts of things?
Yeah, so that's the other thing. The style in which this film is shot is really clever as well. So what they've done is they've taken archival footage of all these campaigns that actually ran during 1988, and they've filmed the rest of the film in a U-matic format, so a tape format. So not VHS, but a sort of a step up from that, you know, the sort of the tapes you'd use in TV production at the time.
Yeah.
So there's almost a seamlessness between the performance of the actors and the narrative melded with the rest of the footage.
Oh, fantastic.
And I think that's really smart, because what it does, on the one hand, it situates everything within the political context of the time and the style, but it also draws attention to its own constructedness. So given that so much of the film is about the levels of reality within the image and how images can be deceptive and advertising and all those sort of levels, the film isn't
going on. It's working at quite a few different levels.
Yeah, it's a really intelligent, smart film, acted well, and I think it doesn't moralize too. That's the other thing, because you have these interesting characters which are, you know, in between various stages, you know, the political pragmatist side.
And
it's not just about Chile. I mean, this film, I think the other reason it works for an international audience is it's completely relevant to what's going on, what went on in the States last year, what's going on.
So it's very relevant to modern politics.
Absolutely.
So is it like Argo in the sense that they've got the look right, and the archival mixes very well with the fictionalized story?
There's a perfect sort of seamlessness, but I think even more so in this, because the grainy, staticky sort of footage that you get from the tape makes the audience aware that it is a construction. It's not like we're actually giving you a window into history, the sort of that seamless kind of clean image.
Right.
It's a bit grainy. And again, it sort of gestures at itself in that regard, I think.
So the film is No. Is that wide release or not so much?
No, more sort of the Palace Cinemas, Cinema Nova, Classic and Elston. It's been around a couple of weeks now, so it's probably in its last week or two, but definitely recommended.
Okay, so that film is No. The other film we mentioned is The Company You Keep. I'll get to a few of your text messages in a moment. Sharon's been waiting patiently from Torquay on Those on Screen Have Been Aging Gracefully. Hi, Sharon.
Oh, hi. Yeah, I got a terrific video out the other night which has one of my favourite actors in it, Gabriel Byrne.
Yes.
And he was fantastic in it, and Charlotte Rampling was starring against him.
What film was that?
It's called I, Anna.
Oh, I haven't heard about that.
Yes, it was just sort of just an obscure one, but a recent release, and she's in her mid or late 60s.
And Gabriel Byrne, he'd be in his late 50s, wouldn't he? Maybe?
Well, I'd say, yeah, about 60.
Right. He's a good-looking man, though.
Yeah, and he, if you ever get the chance, he's in a... I've never seen it on TV. It's out on video. It's called In Treatment.
Yeah, I've seen In Treatment. It's fantastic. I thought you were going to say, if you ever get the chance, would you? But still, someone, of course, pointing out to me that my geography is gone all crazy. Yes, Buenos Aires is in Argentina. Santiago might be the city that they filled in for that film. Someone texted in about The Company You Keep. I saw it with a friend who hated it. She said it was the worst movie she'd ever seen. Well, not very engaging characters who she said she didn't care about. I didn't hate it, but I thought Robert Redford wasn't believable as the older dad, just a bit too old. Richard Gere's aged well, apparently, according to this text. Dame Judi Dench is absolutely awesome, according to this text.
It's gone.
You both know what's at stake here.
There isn't much road left.
Take the bloody shot.
Ooh, Judi Dench, the best M ever. Actually, I think you might not, you might disagree about the who's the best Bond, but she's clearly the best M ever. Maggie Smith, choosing good older character roles. That's Nicole in Brighton. And someone's sexing this one in about Maggie Smith. She looked 35. She looked old 35 years ago in Travels with My Aunt. She hasn't changed since. What was your last Maggie Smith film? Do you remember?
I think it was the Harry Potters. But she's amazing. Isn't it funny how the elderly actresses we're talking about are almost all British? What is it? What does that say about the competing industries?
But then there are lots of older women on American TV sort of doing the news, you know, the Barbara Walters and those sorts of people.
It's quite strange.
I don't know what's going on there. Ginny's called from Newport. Hi, Ginny.
Oh, good afternoon. Good afternoon, Ralph. I can't believe anybody or nobody mentioned Julie Christie from The Company You Keep, who, of course, has worn very well because she's absolutely gorgeous.
Yes.
But I have to agree with most people. I thought it was a very underwhelming movie, and frankly, I thought Robert Redford far too old for, you know, for being such a young dad. And also, I thought the ending fairly corny. Just and even the reporter, the whole story was pretty impossible.
Not too impressed. Oof, okay, Ginny won't be recommending that as a DVD. Thank you for calling, Ginny. I like this text from Pete. Gary Busey hasn't aged well, but I still love him. look, he was in Point Break, so all is forgiven. Josh, thank you for coming in.
Pleasure.
Josh Nelson's film blog you can check out at filmology.com. That is a PH, filmology.com.